This morning's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
It's great to be with you this morning. It's great to be able to share. And I'm really excited about this day. It's Pentecost Sunday. I think it's a wonderful day to celebrate. And it's a great opportunity we have to focus in on this incredible scripture. And for me, I like to understand what the text is actually saying. And in my Bible that I read, which is the New King James Version, it says they were all in one accord, in one place, in agreement, in they were together. Our text this morning said they were together in one place. And I think it's important that we start by recognizing what it means to actually be in one accord. So this is the idea I want us to understand, is what does it mean to be in one accord? What does it mean to be in agreement? So let's do a little bit of a test this morning to see whether we're in agreement, all right? This is where we're going to start. First of all, what is the best NRL team? Who would like to tell us who the best NRL team? What have we got? Have we got some different viewpoints? South Sydney? What else? Anyone else got a viewpoint? Newcastle, so we've got a bit of disagreement over there. Any other further disagreement? St. George. Well, the sad thing about St. George is that they haven't won a game in so long. It's just not funny. My son-in-law barracks for St. George, and he's almost suffering depression because of the way they're going at the moment. So there's disagreement in the room. So can I just ask, who doesn't care about the NRL at all? See, this is the other side of the equation. Some people agree, some people disagree vehemently. So we're not in agreement on football this morning at all. Let's see if we can come up with something a little bit closer to home. If you had to eat one dish for the rest of your life, would it be pasta or would it be rice? Okay, who would say pasta? Okay, who would say rice? So we've got disagreement on that as well. That's a bit of a sad thing this morning. We've got disagreement. So let's see if we can find something that we agree on. What about 1 + 1? What does that equal? 2? We've got 2. Anyone in disagreement with that? All right, well, that's good. We've got some agreement this morning on what is 1 + 1. What about this one? It's a little bit harder. Okay. Jesus is, and it's a four-letter word. What do we think it might be, everyone? Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's a good place of agreement. And you know, because we actually said that together, and because we believe that together, we qualify for exactly the same scenario that was happening on the day of Pentecost. They were in one accord. They were in agreement. And there's something incredibly powerful about being in one accord in one place. Being in one accord means being in wild agreement to the same purpose and the same goal. And that's what was happening on the day of Pentecost. You had 120 believers who were waiting. Jesus had been resurrected. He had appeared to 500 people since his resurrection. And now, 50 days later, we have 120 people, men and women, in the upper room in wild agreement, which I think is a very, very powerful way to be. The other thing it says is that they were in one place. They were together in one place. This is all about unity. And I want you to be challenged this morning just a little bit about the power and the reality that is in unity. In Luke 24, verse 49, it says, "Behold, Jesus said, behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city until in Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high." They'd been told to wait for the baptism in the Spirit, for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it was very significant that they decided to wait together in one place. Now, the place they chose to wait was the same place that the disciples had celebrated the Passover with Jesus, the Last Supper. It's sometimes called the Kentucle or the Upper Room. It's this place where they had set aside and decided that they would come together, and they'd been praying regularly in that place, and they now were together. Now, unity is a powerful place to be in. And I love when we find other Christians who are in unity with us. There's so much disunity in this world. This world is full of disunity. But we can find agreement. We can find hope. And together at the feet of Jesus, we recognize that we need his touch, surrounded by others who can support us. I know in this church, you have found many times when you have been, because you're in unity, you have found the blessing of that. You have found the reality that is that you have others who can stand with you, especially when things are challenging. I love that about church. It's one of the things I most delight in, is the fact that I don't ever have to be alone. But the scripture goes on and it says they were in one accord in one place. But before it says that, it says the day of Pentecost had fully come. The day had fully come. I want to talk to you about this day. The first day of Pentecost was such an important day. It is literally the birth of the New Testament church. It is what started the New Testament church. It is the event that is so very, very important. And I think it's fantastic for us to remember that every Pentecost we come together. But I want to say something a little bit controversial to you today. That the day of Pentecost today in 2026 is actually not that special. Okay, now I know that's a bit odd because I've been asked to come and preach to you on the day of Pentecost, and I should be excited and saying this is the most important day of the year. It's not the most important day of the year because the day of Pentecost had fully come 2,000 years ago. The day of Pentecost was meant to be a way of life, not an annual event. It was meant to be something that changed the way we experienced God. God made himself available to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost in that first year. Now we celebrate it, we remember it, we recall it. Every Christian on the face of the earth should be walking in the day of Pentecost experience every single day of the year. I should be doing that. Now I'm taking that as a challenge today because I don't always do that. I don't always live up to the possibility. I don't always look forward to the potential. I don't always live out the fullness of that possibility in my life. The day of Pentecost is today, but it's also tomorrow. What I'm saying is that your life should always be reflecting what we're thinking of today. If you like to use some terminology that might be familiar to you, it should be the daily experience that we have. This is the daily that we have. It should be the now experience that I'm living in. And it should be the normal experience I'm living in. I should be living each day with a well and truly connected life with the work the Holy Spirit wants to do in me. Now, I fully admit that I don't always do that. I fully admit that I'm in need of being reminded of that. So who qualifies for this experience? Who actually qualifies for the experiencing this daily manifestation of the power and the outpouring of the Spirit? In our scripture in verse 6, it says, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my Spirit on all people, or on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy." Now, all flesh or all people, can you just do a check for me today? Can you just lean over to the person next to you? Can you just pinch them and check that they're not some robot or someone else? And if they don't make a noise, it means that they're a bit subject or they're a bit questionable. But if they're flesh this morning, if they're a person this morning, then they qualify for what this scripture is actually talking about. Now, calm down there. That's enough pinching in the front row, okay? There's enough pinching happening. So all flesh, all people, no one misses out. How good is that? Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't say only special people of a certain height or a certain weight or a certain ethnicity or a certain sexuality or a certain this or a certain that? Isn't it fantastic that it's all people? All people can qualify and can experience this fullness. And I love that because I believe that the Lord actually wants to pour out on all flesh. If you have flesh this morning, if you're in agreement with God and you're in this place, then the day has actually fully come and we can be celebrating and expecting to receive something from God. There was a man named Ananias who came to the Apostle Paul. Now he wasn't Paul at this stage, he was still called Saul. And in Acts chapter 9, we find that Ananias came to blind Saul, who had been blinded on the road, and he said to Saul this. He said, "Brother Saul, the Master has sent me, the same Jesus you saw on the way here. He sent me so that you could see again and be filled with the Spirit." Ananias came to Saul, and there was no hesitation and no confusion in Ananias that Saul could receive the Holy Spirit. Even though Saul had consented to killing Christians, they were together in one place, in the right place. The day of Pentecost had proven there was no reason to delay. Saul had flesh, and therefore he qualified. There was no doubt. So can I just encourage you today? There is nothing you have done, there is nothing you have thought, there is nothing you have experienced that can separate you from the possibility of God working in your life. And I love that. I love the fact that no matter what has happened in my life, there is yet more for the Holy Spirit to do. There is yet more that can come upon us. One outpouring for all, so that we can impact all. So today I want to give you a challenge. I've got a couple of thoughts that might be worthwhile just reminding yourself about throughout this week. I want to ask you this question. What are you waiting for? What are you actually waiting for? If you don't have the power you need, maybe it's been a long time, or maybe you've never experienced it. If you don't have the passion that you think you should have in your spiritual life, can I encourage you that you can actually have that passion again? Maybe you don't see others and you see it in others, but you want to see it in yourself. Maybe you don't have effectiveness that you need. You're trying to do stuff and make a difference, but it doesn't seem to be working. Can I encourage you that the Holy Spirit wants to work in us? Today is the day, and so is tomorrow. The next day is also the day. The day after that. Let's pull ourselves up. Let's lift ourselves up. Let's have an expectation that God could work through us, that God wants to work through us. Just recently, I have been to Turkey. I had 3 weeks in Turkey just a few weeks ago, and I stood in the church of the Ephesians, and I had the opportunity to just reflect there, and it reminded me of the Ephesian Christians who were found by Paul, and Paul asked them, had they received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. They'd lived their lives without the power of the Spirit. They'd been trying to do it on their own. Can I tell you that God does not want us to live like that? He does not want us to live without the power we need. Our lives are meant to be inherently powerful. Not powerful in a worldly sense where we're the boss or we lord it over others, but we have the power we need to love others. We have the power we need to make a difference. We have the power we need to offer a word of encouragement and a word of life. I believe that every one of us should leave this church this morning with an attitude that says, I can have the power I need to do the things that God wants me to do. You are inherently valuable to God, every one of you. If someone pinched you this morning, you're valuable to God. If someone has looked at you this morning and seen you as a person, you're so valuable to God. Let's live like we're valuable to God. I'm desperately aware that I cannot do what I need to do without the power of God working in my life. And it is the daily, the now, the normal that I should have today. So can I encourage you, do not hesitate or hold back. There are a number of reasons people hold back from God. Sometimes they're unsure what might happen. They're a little bit afraid of what others might think. Maybe they're not willing to take the risk because they're really, really comfortable and they don't want anything to upset the apple cart. Can I tell you that God wants to do something in you? But he doesn't and can't push past your unwillingness. So let's be people who actually are willing. Let's be people who do not hesitate or hold back. Let's not allow fear to stop us. Can I encourage you not to limit the possibility? The Lord wants you to be full of his Spirit. He wants you to be empowered to witness. He wants you to have a spiritual experience with him. He wants to fulfill every single thing that he has appointed to be present in your life. But you have to be willing not to limit the possibility. Some people say, oh, well, God can't do that in my life. And surprisingly or unsurprisingly, he doesn't, because they don't allow God to do it. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I've met people who have said yes to God, and they have seen amazing things take place. They have seen amazing provision. They've seen amazing empowerment. And they have been raised up by God to do amazing things in this world that is desperately in need of them. Can I encourage you? Don't you dare limit the possibility of God in your life. Make a choice, because actually it's time. The day of Pentecost has fully come. Today is the day. Tomorrow is also the day. In 2 Corinthians, my last scripture for us today, in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, it says, "For the Lord says, in acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you make available to us the Holy Spirit. We thank you that He is God and that He dwells within us when we first give our lives to you. But Lord, we pray for the outpouring of that powerful, powerful presence that comes from the Holy Spirit today. I pray for every person in this room that they would not limit the possibility of God working in their life, that they would not hold back from the hope or the desire to reach out, and that they would open their eyes and open their hearts to that which you have for them. I pray that you would strengthen, you would encourage, and you would bless us this day. Father, on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire touched every single person in the room because their hearts were open to you. And I pray, Lord, that for every person whose heart is open today, it will be like a tongue of fire and a powerful rushing wind would go into the hearts and renew them this day. Even as your eyes are closed this morning, I just encourage you to just ask of God what you would ask Him today. If you need more power in your life, more presence in your life, more confidence in your life, more grace in your life, ask the Lord. And maybe as a gesture, you just open up your hands to God, that He might put into your hands that which He has for you. Father, I pray for every open heart and every open hand this day. I pray that we would be aware of you and that you would do something truly powerful and miraculous in our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would not be the same as we step out of this church this morning. Not because of powerful words, but because of your presence. Not because of just a thought, but because of the reality that you bring in our lives this day. We thank you for the hope we have, the life we share, and the love that comes from knowing you. I pray you bless this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen.